on my first song. You want me to introduce it?
Please do.
Well, it goes right back many decades to when I was a young boy in Liverpool. And I think this song came out in 1960, which really is giving my age away.
I'll just try to figure it out, you know.
Don't get your calculators out. But I first remember hearing it. You know, you always sort of remember when you first heard a song.
Yes.
And I was being dropped off in the hospital by my parents to have my tonsils out. And it came on a radio in the ward. And I thought, wow, that's something. It distracted me from the trauma I was about to go through.
Yeah. And, do you know, can you, around the age, were you were young?
Yeah, I would have been probably about eight.
Eight, yes. Oh, gosh, so you're in hospital, you're 8 years old, you're going to have an operation. Yeah.
Even though it's only tonsils, it was, you know, at
huge.
That age, you don't know. And it was one of those great big wards in England with all the lines of beds down the side.
Yeah, real metal, you know, metal.
And very strange. And this music came on the radio, and I thought, wow, that's great.
Oh, well, okay. What's the name of the song?
It's Apache by the Shadows.
Apache. I do love an instrumental, actually, you know.
I went on to love the Shadows for, you know, everything they did after that. There's more favourite songs of theirs that I have, but this one was the first one I ever heard. And Hank Marvin, brilliant guy, the lead guitarist, modelled himself on Buddy Holly with the dark rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
He owned the first Fender Stratocaster in Britain.
Really?
Because they were Cliff Richard's backing band, actually, the Shadows.
Wow.
When they weren't being the Shadows for the, just doing instrumentals for themselves, they were his backing band. And Cliff Richard came back from America and gave Hank Marvin a present, and it was a Fender Stratocaster, a nice red one, the first one in Britain.
Oh, so generous.
And that inspired so many people like Pete Townsend, Jeff Beck, Mark Knopfler to pick up the guitar after watching him playing that on TV all the time. And
cool. Well, we've got a this, you know, I really want to hear this song now, Paul.
So let's go. Hang on.
it happens every Friday night. It's like everybody is using computers or, you know. Well, and
I'm on one.
One. Is it this
one? Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you.
what a tune that was. And I was just, we were just discussing it then. It just reminds me of so many kind of gangster movies.
Oops.
When they're having the fight scene and that, you know, they're shooting and it's kind of in tune to this song.
Yeah, that's quite quite Quentin Tarantino-y.
Very Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
So the next track.
Well, after the Shadows, everybody just forgot about them for a while because the Beatles came along.
Oh, the Beatles.
They were formed in Liverpool in 1960, but they sort of didn't get going till about 62. They released a song called Love Me Do, and everybody was like, wow. And
so just before we talk about them, because Liverpool has a very special place in my heart because I went to university there and I lived there for 3 years, and I really, it was just such an amazing city. And you were actually born there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just outside there, just nearby.
Okay.
But that was my main city. Used to go in there. I was too young to see the Beatles when they came out. I was only about 10 when they were performing around that area. But the closest I ever got to them was to go and see the movie that they made called Help. And that was in Liverpool at the Odeon. And I went there.
Yep.
And all the girls were screaming at the screen.
Yeah.
and I thought, wow, this is almost like being at the Beatles concert.
Yeah.
Have
you been back to Liverpool?
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
And you do the tour, you go to the Cavern Club and...
Oh, we walk past it.
Yeah. Or you didn't go in for a drink. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's not the original one.
No, it's not. It's a bit further down the original one.
Yeah, but it's near enough. Yeah. All the tourists think it's...
So what did you think of Liverpool after you went back?
Well, the last time I went back, it was a lot. I was a lot more impressed than I was. I went back, and the first time I went back was 1989, but I went back recently, about 9 years ago, eight or 9 years ago, and it's vastly improved.
Yeah, it got the capital of culture and lots of money invested in it.
And I think that gave them a lot of confidence, and it was still recovering from the when I went back in 1989, it was still recovering from the Margaret Thatcher days.
Yeah,
because she just let the North go.
Definitely, and I'm a Northerner, so I really feel for this kind of
because they weren't Tory supporters up there, so they just didn't get support from the government.
Yeah,
at all.
The Thatcher government just
Thatcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was still on the recovery from that sort of behaviour from Tory governments. But, but the song I've got from the Beatles is leaping forward in their career to about 1967. And it's when they went a bit – it's my favourite period of theirs. They went a bit psychedelic. And which is where the music was starting to head, and not that I was into psychedelics or anything there. I was still only a young guy, but I sort of understood what it was all about.
Yeah,
it sort of took you on a trip even when you were a kid, just listening to it. It was like, wow, this is quite amazing stuff. And to the point that this song was actually banned. It went to number one in New Zealand.
Yep,
I had not long been in New Zealand at that stage. The song came out and went to number one and immediately got banned by the authorities in New Zealand.
Really?
The New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation banned it.
Yeah.
And, because it was too, they thought it was too drug referenced.
Oh.
Silly them.
Silly them.
So here we have
And it's not banned anymore, so we can listen to it.
Not banned anymore, no.
Gun, see how- Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that track.
Oh,
thoroughly enjoyed
that, the magic in that. Whoa.
Oh, just a little teaser there for the listeners out there.
The magic of that track is the fifth Beatle, what he was doing, George Martin, the producer. It
okay.
was all that technical stuff going on.
Yeah.
All that overdubbing and, yeah, that was... Anyway, that was the Beatles.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, so I'm so, so pleased that you have just chosen the band, for the, you know, the track from this next band.
Oh, this next band.
I'm just, when I think about the 60s, I've always said that I really feel like I'm just such a Kinks lover. I love the Kinks. I love pretty much all of their music. And I find that their music... is socially is well above its time. Like, to sing that song Lola, for example, you know, like, who would sing a song like that in, like, was it in the 60s or was it the early 70s? You know,
it was just on the turn, about 69, 70, that one, I think.
Yeah, and just, you know, and even, like, there's so many that...
Social commentary.
Yes.
Dead End Street, Sunday Afternoon. They were described as... kitchen sink dramas without the drama.
Oh, I love that.
sort of like, and the one we're going to choose, one I've chosen, I mean, the first song that really caught my ear from the Kinks was You Really Got Me, very famous song, which is a real rocker.
Yeah.
But this song is an absolute... one of the most beautiful pop songs ever written.
I completely agree.
And it's about a guy just watching a couple. It's a Friday night, just like we are now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's standing in his apartment at a window, looking at the bridge over the River Thames, watching the dirty old river flowing by, and watching this couple walking home. And he's just singing about what he sees.
Oh.
And... there's all sorts of theories about who they are, but Ray Davies, the writer of the song, has said he was just thinking about his sister who was just about to emigrate to Australia.
Really?
And he was a bit sad because they got on so well, and a lot of that's to do with it. And Yeah, but it paints a real picture, this song.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
And so do a lot of their songs. So, Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
How much I enjoyed that track. Oh, so lovely.
That's what you call sublime. Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh. I can't hear myself. The Kinks, Waterloo Sunset. So this is about the time when I was just moved over from England to come to New Zealand, and the leaving a scene behind felt like I was leaving a whole new music scene behind that was emerging in England at the time. And
How old were you when you moved here?
Oh, 12.
So you were 12. So that's very cool. So you were quite aware of music from quite a young age.
Yeah, and so were a lot of the kids at school. That you'd all sing Beatles songs. You'd all talk about the Beatles.
Oh.
You'd all talk about the current thing that was going on, which was like Muhammad Ali had just come on the scene.
Really?
He was known as Cassius Clay in those days. So everybody would talk about things like that in the school playground. And if the Beatles hadn't put a song out for 6 weeks, you thought, where are they? They've broken up. There's music coming out all the time. And this band, there was a program called Ready, Steady, Go on Friday nights, late on a Friday night, and with this female presenter called Kathy McGowan. Cool. She was really cool. And they used to have a live studio audience that used to dance around to these new bands that were coming out. And one of the bands was The Who. And I didn't know anything about them at the time, except they had this mad drummer, Keith Moon.
Right.
And this mad guitarist that used to do windmills with his hands and play his guitar. And didn't quite smash them up at that stage, but later on he went on to smash his guitars. They were just the most interesting band visually. And suddenly I came to New Zealand and thought, oh, I've left all that behind. And then went to school. It was in the days when everybody had a transistor radio in their pocket. I started hearing these Who songs. And kids at school in New Zealand started singing.
So this was a few years later then?
This was like bang on, 66, when I came out here.
Right.
Exactly.
So you had the music from the UK here in 66, great.
Yeah, it was straight, it followed me here exactly at the time.
You brought it here.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, this is great. It's still happening out here. And started hearing this song by The Who called Substitute.
Woo! Loving that next song.
I'll substitute you for my mum, at least I'll get my washing done.
What a line.
Social commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was The Who. And then there was a band called Pink Floyd came on.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. They got a bit pompous down the track a bit, but when they first started, they were sort of like, what would you call them? They were the first psychedelic band in Britain, and they had a weird guy called Sid Barrett on guitar.
I really feel for him because I haven't really played much Pink Floyd, but I've played some of his solo stuff, and I got quite into his solo stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, you know, I play a song on Hit My Show, and then I get really into it, and I start watching documentaries, and I watch this really sad documentary about his life after, you know, and obviously his mental health problems and how he was living with people, living in his mum's basement for years, you know, until he died.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah.
And went on, you know, a few trips and never came back.
Yeah. Was it that he took an acid trip and then that's when it kind of all went?
Well, they pretty much put it down to that. Yeah. He was just totally away a lot. And one day, he gradually never came back.
You know, I remember that the mother was talking, or maybe it was the sister, and they were saying that crazed fans, because it was Oxford or Cambridge. It was Cambridge, wasn't it? He lived in Cambridge. And crazed fans would come to Cambridge looking for him. Yeah. And the amount of times they had to turn him away and just say, look, he's not well. You know, you've got to leave us alone, you know. So,
they went on later to do a song called Wish You Were Here. And that was about Sid. Lamenting the fact that he wasn't with them anymore.
Yeah.
He was still around, but he wasn't with them. He was incapable of carrying on with them.
I actually remember when I was at university in Liverpool, and I worked with a guy who was absolutely obsessed with him, and he was just so convinced that he's in his mum's basement making the most amazing music and we're all going to discover it. And I was just like, oh, well, hopefully, you know, trying to be positive about it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember when I first heard this song, and it was sort of like the Beatles have been going a bit psychedelic with like that Eye on the Walrus we played earlier.
Yeah.
And this was another sort of one that just made everybody sit up and go, wow, this is different. And this is See Emily Play by Pink Floyd.
Wow.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try it another way. You'll lose your mind and play. Sound till tomorrow. Touches the ground. Float on a river forever and ever, Emily.
You're never too sure when these tracks are going to finish. That's what I find.
Oh, well, wait till you hear the one coming up. Because it breaks all the rules, apparently. It's Roxy Music.
I have heard the song. I don't really know much about the band. My dad's played the song a lot.
Oh, this is the first song I ever heard by Roxy Music, which is... I started reading about Brian Ferry and the NME.
Okay.
And saw this guy that used to dress up. Later on, he went on to start wearing white dinner jackets, but I used to see him in all sorts of weird outfits and in these magazines. And then I suddenly heard the song, and it's like nothing I'd ever heard. Even after that Pink Floyd one, it's completely different again. And this is a band that influenced a lot of punk bands that came along later.
Yeah.
Because they were just so different.
Yeah.
And they were known as art rock, glam.
Art rock.
Yeah, art rock, glam rock, because Brian Ferry went to art school.
They all went to art school. Yeah. This is one thing that I realised about people from musicians from that time. They all started off going to art school. Doing something like fine art, or history of art.
Well, the name of the song, Virginia Plain, everybody goes, who's Virginia Plain? Well, it was actually a packet of cigarettes that he'd painted, and it had, they were called Virginia Plain.
Oh.
And they had an oboe in the band. You can hear an oboe all the way through this song. Brian Eno went on to be a brilliant, well-known producer, produced all sorts of major bands like U2 and tons of stuff in his own right, and probably is just almost as famous as Roxy Music themselves. Brian Ferry went on to be have a solo career, and Phil Manzanera, the guitarist, did all sorts of stuff as well. So here's a song that broke all the rules. It fades in instead of fading out at the end. It doesn't have a chorus, and at the end it just stops dead. So here's Virginia Plain by Roxy Music.
So chic to the revel of the week. Ladies of the mountain streamline, midnight you can see the floors. Dance the cha-cha through to sunrise, opens up exclusive doors. For wow, just like the moon look the same. So me and you, just me two, got to search for something new.
plane.
I'm loving it. I just keep on seeing cigarette boxes now.
Yeah, Virginia Plain. yeah, Roxy Music. And that brings us to sort of into the 70s now, way into the 70s. An artist called Kate Bush, you might have heard of her.
I have.
And sort of came to fame with a song called Wuthering Heights, which was very polarizing to some people because she had such a squeaky voice.
Yeah.
And but I really saw something in past that. I thought, wow, she's very talented songwriter. And so did David Gilmour from Pink Floyd, who we played earlier. He sort of like discovered her, saw that what amazing songs she'd written. She was only 19 at the time, but she'd been writing these songs when she was 14. She actually started writing songs when she was 11. The particular song I'm going to play, she wrote when she was 11.
And you were mentioning earlier how she never toured. She never did a tour.
No, she did a tour, did a European tour, which lasted a month, right at the beginning of her fame. And I don't think, she didn't do anything again after that until 2014.
Wow.
When she did a residency at the Hammersmith Apollo of 22 nights. When the tickets went on sale, they sold out in 15 minutes.
I bet they did.
People came from all over the world. I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah.
And they reckon it was just the most amazing show. And, so there's so much you can say about Kate Bush, but I'll just let the music do the talking.
Ooh.
Here's the man with the child in his eyes.
I hear him before I go to sleep and focus on the day that's been. I realize he's there when I turn the light off and turn over. Nobody knows about my man. They think he's lost on some horizon, and suddenly
beautiful song.
Yeah, Kate Bush. Beautiful piano she plays too.
Next track.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, have you if you're mentioning in the realms of Kate Bush, you'll have to sort of go the other way and mention David Bowie. These are milestones in my life of music. This is an album that actually, this is a song that came out in 1974.
Okay.
But it's called 1984.
Ooh. And futuristic for its time.
Well, it's inspired by the George Orwell novel 1984, which is about a dystopian future, which the general population is subjected to surveillance, mass surveillance, and repression and propaganda and all that sort of stuff. I mean, look, we've got some webcams looking at us right now.
Yeah, we've got lots of posters and, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't go down the street, good or whether it's a good thing or a bad thing these days, you can't go down the street without a surveillance camera watching you. And this is what George Orwell was all about. And this is what the song is sort of taken from the book 1984. It was going to be made into a musical, but George Orwell's widow wouldn't allow it. And it comes from the album Diamond Dogs, and it's great.
Okay. Another one of those, it will end soon.
Yeah. Ooh.
They're just going to enjoy that little ending part. I was quite interested in the next track that you played, because I've never actually heard about them. And then I just had a little listen, and I was like, oh, that voice sounds really familiar.
Oh, yeah. Well, people might know him as Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, but he went on to become his real name, John Lydon. And he, after the Sex Pistols, which were quite a milestone band,
yep,
they rebelled against all the pomposity that was going on at the time, from bands like Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
You know, self-indulgent music with a lot of the prog rock, which I haven't played much prog rock on my show today, but on this show today, but I usually play it on my own show occasionally. Try to mix it up a bit, and that was the Sex Pistols were a rebellion against all that, but they moderated down a bit and went on in a different direction.
Yeah.
And became Public Image Limited.
And I've never ever heard of them. This is completely new music to me, which is great to be able to hear.
Well, you might have heard of the song.
I mean, it didn't sound that familiar when I listened to it tonight. I just, his voice. But I've got to say, he always said something in an interview once, and it's really stood out for me, and it was like, well, you can't sing. He's like, so what if I can't sing? And I'm just like, yeah. And it actually made me, because I can't sing, and I'm like, do you know what, I'm just gonna sing. Because
he just it doesn't matter that he can't sing, he's just John Lydon. And if you ever want to be entertained, just go on YouTube and look at any John Lydon interview that you could find.
Yeah.
And you'll be fascinated.
You told me something quite interesting about him growing up tonight. Was it about when he was six?
Six or seven. He got meningitis and he ended up in hospital seriously ill, and lost his memory, all his memory of his previous years. And his parents had to convince him that they were his parents.
Wow.
And tell him who he was. And they had to gain his trust again. And that's why he's very, that's what he said, he's, if you're not truthful with him, he really doesn't like it. If he finds out you're being a bit handy with the truth, he you're not his friend anymore, because of that. So this is a song about, it's called Rise, and it's May the Road Rise With You, which is from an Irish prayer, I think.
Okay.
But it's about apartheid in South Africa and Nelson Mandela, and also about the interrogation techniques of the Ulster Constabulary. There's a line in the song where it says, they put a hot wire in my head because of things I didn't said. And that's about these electric shock treatments that they used to interrogate people with. So here's Rise, Public Image Limited.
Could be wrong. Yeah.
And unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. I've got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here, Paul.
Oh,
and I hope you can come again. And I'm actually thinking sometime in the near future, I might do like a 60s British Invasion special. And I would love for you to join. And we could just talk about how great this music is and what we love about the songs.
Oh, it's been a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me. Oh, and yeah.
Friday night, you know what we're on. Yeah. So the final song for this evening.
Well, it's a band I don't know much about, but I play them on my show. They're a British band, I know that much. I think they're from London.
Yep.
They're called Goat Girl.
So I've got to say, I've never heard of them either, and the only time I have listened to them was actually on your show, and tonight I played a few of their tracks, and I'm really impressed. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from them.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can't tell you too much about them. And this is called Sad Cowboy. And thanks for having me, Emma.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
And see you, everybody.
Yeah. Have a great weekend. It's Best of British taking us out. Goat Girl, Sad Cowboy. And a big thanks to Paul for joining me.
Starts a new